Moshe Feldman, Parshas Nosei.
Time flies.
Moshe Feldman, Parshas Shlach Lecha.
Tell you where, slightly David, tell you where you're Manchester. Alright, okay, done. One second, we're almost there.
Otherwise, I'll miss my lift.
Don't worry.
I want to see. It is not because I want to see if it's the same high standard down there. And up there.
I'm sure it is. Good morning, Rabbi Isai. Nice to be back. The shiur today, I want to dedicate Lele Nishmas, my late father, Rabbi Shurba Baruch Nosson. And also should be a chus for a refuah shleima for Bracha Tova Bas Esther. She should have a refuah shleima among all Chole Yisrael. Menachem David said to me, how about doing some Dvar Halacha for a few minutes? I've got a confession to make. The last Dvar Halacha I said in public, Dvar Halacha, not Drush, was my Bar Mitzvah Drusha in 1969. So please be kind to me in the first part of the Drusha, the Halacha Drusha, the Halacha part. I'll try and do justice to a Sugya in a small way. And then, in Mitzvah Shem, if I'm asked again, we'll do part two another time. Okay. So this part one is, you're walking along on Shabbos, and you see a child doing an Issa Malacha. You see a young child doing an Issa. Do you do the classic Machzach Nishvissendik? It's not my child, it's not my relative, it's not my relation, I've got nothing to do with him, I'm a teacher, so he's not in my class, he may not even be in my school, I can walk past with a high head and a clear heart. Or not. You see a child doing a malacha on Shabbos, you see a child taking a pen and writing on Shabbos, are you mechuyev to go up to that child and stop him, or not? So, to do justice to this, in only a few minutes, because I don't want to spend the whole shiur on this Dvar Halacha. First of all, number one, actually physically stopping a child from doing the Malacha. This all begins, it's beautiful how the Torah works. First of all, you've got Torah Shebiksav. And then you build up to Torah Shebal Peh, you have a Mishnah, and then you work your way up to a Gemara, and you see the Rishonim, and you see the Achronim. It's like a jigsaw being placed piece by piece, or if you want, it's like a flower blossoming, and all the petals come out, and the flowers bloom and blossom. So first of all, we start off with Kiddush. What better way to start than with Kiddush, even though it's Monday morning? Where the Torah says, Lo yisase kol malacha ato uvincha uvitecha. You shall not do any malacha, you and your son and your daughter. Strange words. When the Torah says, put on tefillin, the Torah doesn't say ato uvincha. Put on tefillin, ushartam lo yisal yodecha. So what's the whole thing of ata uvincha, you and your son and your daughter? Does it mean dafka, your own son and your own daughter? But if it's a stranger, as we said before, you could just walk past and do nothing about it. So that's part one. Part two is the Mishnah, Torah Shebal Peh, where the Mishnah says, if you chas v'sholem, not you have, but chas v'sholem is a fire on Shabbos, is one allowed to tell a child or to allow a child to put out the fire. To put out the fire on Shabbos, says the Mishnah in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chof Aleph Amud Aleph, the Mishnah says that if a child is about to put out a fire, Al Shoymin Loi, we do not listen to him, we do not allow him, Mipnei Sheshevi Sosoi Olecha. The child resting, the child keeping Shabbos, depends on you. In other words, you have a chiyuv. Here again, does it mean your own child? Or does it even mean a fellow Yisrael's child? Right. The second part is not only if we see a child do an issa, are we mechuyiv to stop that child? Are we actually allowed to tell a child to do an issa? To go up to a child and say, it's very dark in the room, the switch is over there, maybe say the words, please, please press the switch, or please put the light on, etc., etc. Number three, if the child has done the malacha, the child has put the switch on, the child has put the light on, are you allowed to be nehene from the malacha that the child has done? Whether the child put the light on, or turn the light off, etc., etc. So, as we say from the Mishnah, it would seem that if the child, and the Gemara actually says it on that Mishnah, Daf Kuf Chof Aleph, that if the child is doing it leda'as aviv, he's not doing it on his own accord, which in many ways is easier, but he's doing it on da'as, with the knowledge and with the authorization of an adult of his father, then it's a problem. Then I do have to stop him, and then I can say, no, you're not allowed to do it. In other words, there's a big difference whether the child is doing it for himself or the child is doing it for an adult. In other words, the adult has told him or the adult has indicated that he wants the malacha to be done. Now, if he's doing it for an adult, if the child is doing it for an adult, then it's a mamish, a malacha, an issa min ha-Torah. It doesn't matter how old the child is. And apparently there was a famous mice of the Briska Rav who saw a mother and child walking together, and the child, there was no Erev, and the child was carrying a pot. And the Briska Rav called out from his window to the child, put that pot down. And the mother said to the child, carry the pot. And the Briska Rav called out, put that pot down. And the mother said to the child, carry on carrying the pot. The Maaser concludes, the Briska Rav came down from wherever floor he was on. He opened the front door of the building, and he said, he called out, if this woman touches wine, the wine is Yayin Nesach. Because she is Mechalel Shabbos Befehesia. This is a very, very young child, but the young child is doing it for the adult, doing it for the mother. There's no heter whatsoever. Right, okay. Do we have a chiv to stop them? The Briska Rav called out, put the pot down. Does he have any chiv to continue with all his might and all his koyach to stop it? Maybe by what he said, such sharp words, that the wine is yayin lesach, maybe that would be the biggest way of stopping the mother continue the child to carry on. Right. Now the Rambam says that beisdin, and whenever it says beisdin, it doesn't mean beisdin, it means anybody other than the parent, are not mechuyev to stop a child from doing a malacha. The Rosh and the Rif say, based in our mechuyev to stop a child doing a malacha. That's the basic difference. Now, as we say, according to the Chayadon, he makes a difference between a malacha d'oraisa and a malacha d'rabbanan. If you see a child doing a malacha d'oraisa, then you will have to stop that child. A malacha d'rabbanan, you can say, okay, turn a blind eye. Again, there's a nafka minhag between a katan shehigia lechinuch and a katan sheloi higia lechinuch. In other words, when the Rambam writes that a katan who is over under Rabbonim, for example, we see a child uprooting from a flower pot that's not perforated, an okut she'enoi nokuv, based in are not mechuyev to be mafrishim from that issa. But the Torah asks, why does the Rambam only write about being over under Rabbonim? Surely even a deraisa, if we're not the father, based in are not mechuyev to stop a child doing a malacha. The Rambam himself writes in Peret Yud Beis of Hilchos Shabbos that a katan who wants to put out a fire, based in are not mechuyev to stop him. Other people are not mechuyev to stop him. Now the Beis Yosef answers that the Rambam didn't write Shavus to declare that it's only a derabbanon, but an iser deraisa, you are mechuyev to stop him. Not at all. Because in the Sefer, the Rambam writes, if his father lets the child do it, we don't stop it, allowing the child to carry on with that issa. However, by an issa deraisa, based in do stop the father from allowing his son to carry out the issa. In other words, never mind us going up to the child and stopping the child. The father's there. The father seems to be allowing the situation to continue. Are we mechuyev to go up to the father and say, Rabbi Yid, your child's doing this issa. Please do your best to stop him. You can't allow him to carry on. Says the Bach, by a katan shehigia lechinuch, an issa derabbana we don't stop him, but an issa deraisa we do stop him. However, a katan sheloi higia lechinuch, a very, very young child. By the way, what's called the Gia Lechinuch and Loya Gia Lechinuch, whether we say it's normally between 3 and 5, so the average is 4, a child of 4. Okay. Based in are not mechuyev to stop him by an Issa de Rabbono. By a Koton Shaloihi Gia Lechinuch, even deraisa, we say we're not mechuyev to stop him. However, by a katan shehigia lechinuch, by an issa derabbanan we don't stop him, by an issa deraisa we do stop him. So I think we've covered some part of the dvar halacha here. Just make sure that I've covered everything. So once again, the difference is whether he's doing it for himself or doing it for an adult. If he's doing it for an adult, then it's much worse. Till now we've been talking about a child who does an issa, and the father or anybody else sees the child do the issa. Next time, Mr. Shem, we'll talk about what about actually feeding a child a dova osa, or actually making the child do it, giving the child all the capabilities and all the wherewithal in order to do the issa. Okay. Now let's go on to the Drush part. Life is all about growth. Growth in every single life situation. What's called a life situation? A life situation is every minute that passes by is another life situation. In Gashmias, where we are, what we do, where we find ourselves, with who we find ourselves, is a life situation. Likewise, when it comes to Ruchnius, every bracha we make, every benching we do, every aspect of Avodah we do, is another extra life situation. Let's begin with the story. Story brought down by a Pesach Kron. He brings the story of Reb Chaim Honig of Stamford Hill, London. He had an engraving business. Each day people came to his shop to have items engraved, a bar mitzvah boy's name on a kiddush cap, chosn on cufflinks, or a plaque for mechubad of a shul or yeshiva or school dinner, etc., etc. When the story was written, it was just recently that Reb Chaim had been commissioned to do something very, very special. He was commissioned to take a special mezuzah case enclosed in a very elaborate silver setting, and it would be presented, would you believe, to Queen Elizabeth II in Buckingham Palace. He was given this commissioning to do, to provide a Buckingham Palace door, for some reason, with a mezuzah case in a silver setting. Now, in a normal situation, Reb Chaim said himself, it would have taken him maybe a half an hour to do. With this particular silver case, mezuzah case, he found himself working for over 4 hours. And the reason is simple. Because he wasn't doing it for any Tom, Dick and Harry. And he wasn't doing it for any other Mechubad. He was doing it for the Queen of England. He was doing it for the Queen of the Commonwealth. He was doing it for the Queen Elizabeth II. And it made us think, we don't always stop for a moment and say to ourselves that what we're doing is actually for royalty. We somehow, in the hubbub of life, we tend to forget that. That what we're doing all the time, all the brachas we make, all the davening we do, all the learning we do, we're doing for royalty. Not only is it for royalty, but it's for Melech Malchei Hamalachim. Not just Queen Elizabeth II, but for the king of Queen Elizabeth II. For the king of the whole world. For Melech Malchei Hamalachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we have that feeling, when we have that deep awareness that what we do, we're doing for royalty, it makes us realize that we have a very special power of growth. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba bitrunya im b'riyosav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never come along and do something, allow something for people, if the person does not have the capability and possibility to carry out that mission. It would be a very, very unfair king to do such a thing. And as we say, tzaddik v'yoshahu, v'loy avloso boy. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that we are able to daven with kavana, even though in my personal case I find it very difficult, extremely difficult, all sorts of thoughts come through my mind during davening, thoughts beginning from A to Z, you name it, it's there. But the fact is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never put us in a life situation that we have to daven if it wouldn't be possible for us to be able to do it. Otherwise, there wouldn't have been a command in the first place. There wouldn't have been such a... you might say, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give us that command, it was from the Rabbanon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have given the koyach of the Rabbanon to do such a thing, to give us such mitzvahs in the first place. When we look at Doi HaMidbar, right through these sedras now that we're coming through, Balozcha, Shlachlecha, Koira, Chukas, Balak, Pinchas, we see all these sedras. And we see what the Doi HaMidbar went through. Oy Gevalt! What they only went through. The trials and tribulations. True, they were on a very, very high madriga. But each nisoyon they had, And even though the Pasuk says some very harsh words, Vayinasu, where you see, Eseh pa'amim v'lo shomu b'koili, even so, but the fact is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the koichus to be able to withstand. When we see somebody who's been through a difficult parasha, and we look at them and we say, Gevald, how could they have gone through this? How are they going through this? How is it possible? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives koichus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives amazing strength. The Pasuk says, Re'ei nosati lefonecho es achayim ves amoves uvocharto b'chayim. You shall choose life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us room for growth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us the chiyus to be able to give a better life to every single ruchnius and gashmius we do. From everything we see, we can grow and we can become part of it. We know that when it comes to Yaakov and Esav, the famous parasha in Toldos, when Yitzchak Avinu asked Esav to go hunting, and we know that Yaakov, al pitzuvi of his mother, he came to his father, and the Torah tells us, what does he say? Yaakov says, Kum no shavo, please get up and sit up and eat from my hunting. Esav comes along, when he comes in, and he says a little bit different. He says, Yokum Avi, let my father get up. Yaakov is speaking in the second person, and Esav is speaking in the third person. So you might think, Esav is better. When you're talking to an Adam Nichbad, to an honorable person, you talk in the third person. My father should get up. If you're talking to a Rav, you don't say you, second person, you say, how's the Rav today? You talk in the third person. However, says Reb Nosson Adler, the Rav, the Rebbe of the Chacham Sofer, that's all, he says no. When it comes to every single Adam Nichbad, it's always better to speak in the third person. But when it comes to a Tata, when it comes to a father, you say, Kum no shavo. The bond of a father is like a friend. Is like a friend, is like one to another. True kabedes ovicha. A father is a father, and a father will always stay a father. But the fact is, well, the relationship between a father and a son, a good relationship, is not third person. Likewise, when we talk to Hashem, we don't talk to Hashem in third person. We are very, very happy to say, Baruch Atah. Baruch Atah Hashem. Blessed are you, Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu presented us with a neshama. This neshama, sometimes we forget about the neshama. It's inside us. We go about our normal daily lives and we forget the neshama's there. Except for the quick brach in the morning and the kai neshama shanasata bitahoirahi, ato baroso, ato yetzalto. And that seems to be it in my case. I don't think about it. But really, the neshama has been presented to me by the Eibishter. The Eibishter has given us a neshama. And we are mechuyiv to look after it. We're mechuyiv to perfect it. We're mechuyiv to let it grow in the same way that we grow physically. How do we allow our neshamas to grow? Our neshama is with us, and our neshama doesn't really want to be with us, but Baruch Hashem, the neshama is with us, and the neshama enhances our being. When we perfect our neshama, we beautify our neshama, our neshama comes up and says, oh, am I pleased? I'm inside that person. Thank you, Eibishter. And in the morning when we say, Moed ani lefanecha shechezarato binishmosi, my neshama can rejoice with me. The famous story. Rav Meir Zlotovitz, he was an artist in America. He was an art. He perfected manuscripts and collages. He was an artist. His business mainly was making beautiful scrolls for yeshivas who wanted to honor mechubadim, etc., etc. Maybe wedding invitations, bar mitzvah invitations. His business, being an artist and working on scrolls, his business was called Art Scroll. That was the name of his business, Art Scroll. He had a friend called Meir Fogel. Unfortunately, Meir Fogel, a younger man, married, number of years, no children. Meir, late winter one year, 1975, became very ill and was nifter. Meir Zlotovitz was a good friend of Meir Fogel, and he wanted to do something to honour the neshama of Meir Fogel. So he decided the Shloshim was going to be near Purim that year, 1975. He decided he was going to get together a likud of as many mefarshim as he could on Megillas Esther. He may not finish it, but he'll get as many as he could. Baruch Hashem, he was able to finish Megillas Esther in time for the Shloshim of his friend Meir Fogel. He happened to show it to Reb David Cohen. Reb David Cohen looked at it and he said, "Wow, this is amazing. You can't stop here. This is amazing. You can't just give it." He said, "What do you intend doing with it?" He said, "Well, I've got this likud. I'm going to give it out to a few friends in time for the Shloshim. You know what? Publish it. Well, start going to Feldheim and start going. I don't know any other publishing house in America to publish it in time. Do something." Anyway, he got together. By that Purim, he was able to sell 20,000 copies. It was actually published by Reb Meir's own business, some obscure company called Art Scroll. Reb Moshe Feinstein Zatzal saw this chibur, and he said the same words as Reb David, but even more so, "You cannot stop here. You've got to grow. You've made a chibur on Megillas Esther. Now make one on Megillas Rus in time for Shavuos." Well, as they say in all the classics, the rest is history. And they made Megillas Rus in time for that Shavuos, and then they started making a Siddur, and then they started making this, and started making that, until Ein Bayis Asher Ein Shom Art Scroll. Art Scroll all began. Now, if you think for a moment, if those people would have just said, "Well, very, very nice, we'll give out to a few friends," and that would have been it, and the rest would have been history, and then people coming up to Shomayim, coming up to Gan Eden and saying, "No, what's happened? Yes, we made a chibur, and it was for this great man's yahrzeit, and that was it." Pardon? Look at this. There's whole Art Scroll libraries. Shas, Bavli, Rishalmi, all Mishnayos, everything. You name it. Medrash, Mefarshim. Don't know. I don't know anything about it. All this could have been. It all could have been. But unfortunately, it didn't happen. The scary thought is, we want to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and use all the koiches that Abish has given us. What happens if we come to Beis Din Shamayla and they point and they say, "You could have this and this and this and this and this and this"? I don't know what we're talking about. I haven't done this. Rabbi Yid, I've got news for you. You were given all the koiches and all the possibilities and all the capabilities and all the life situations for you to be able to do this. Wow. I don't know. Obviously, one never knows. But the answer would be that when we have a situation and we take that situation and we say we're not going to allow it to pass by, we're going to keep it up. In the Midbar, the Eibishter wanted the Bechorim to become the leaders in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash. In the end, it didn't work out, and it came to the Levim and the Kohanim, Mishpachas Levi. If you think about it very carefully, a Bechor, somebody is a Bechor, he turns to his father and says, Daddy, how do I do the Aveda as a Bechor? The father may not be a Bechor. The father may be a younger one in the family. He's got to turn around and say, well, to be a Bechor, you do this and do this and do this, but it won't be the same, because he himself may not be a Bechor. When it comes to a Levi, and it comes to a Kohen, and a Kohen talks to his son, the Kohen himself is a Kohen. The Levi himself is a Levi. It's not just according to learning. The way we learn is when we actually see a dogma. We look at great people around us and we see how they daven and we see how they learn and we see how they do mitzvahs and we see how they become greater and greater and grow, then we can actually see the dogma. We can see them and we can actually copy and we can actually do the same. We'll just finish off with a vort where we say, Alma of the Ha'oretz. Why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Why was the land destroyed? They asked the Nevi'im, they asked the Chachamim, they couldn't find an answer. Until the Eibishter himself gave the answer. The Eibishter said, Al Shaloi Berichu Batayra Techila. So the question to be asked is, surely, if it was something as basic as not making Birchas HaTorah, why did you have to come to the Nevi'im, come to the Chachamim? Surely, anybody can understand that if every morning people are skipping out Birchas HaTorah, then they're not making Birchas HaTorah. This is terrible. What's going on? They think so low of the Torah that they're not making Birchas HaTorah, and for that you need to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nobody can work it out. Obviously, they did say Birchas HaTorah. Says Rav Parmazatzal, obviously, they did say Birchas HaTorah. Otherwise, why do you have to come on to... We've no idea why. But when they made Birchas HaTorah, they made Birchas HaTorah as a bracha of a duty. It's a duty, Asher Kiddushonu B'mitzvosa V'tzivonu, La'asek B'divrei Seira, it's my duty to learn, I've got to learn, I've got no choice, a yid's got to learn, I'm learning. It wasn't a birchas hanenin. It wasn't a bracha of pleasure. It wasn't like you're about to have a geshmaka piece of cake, a cream cake, and you're making boire mine mezainos, and then having the cake. It wasn't that kind of bracha. It was, oh, alright, I've got to make birchas haTorah. It's like the father who puts on his coat after supper. And the son says, Dad, where are you going? He says, I'm going to learn. You're going to learn? Well, you know, yid have been moisa nefesh right through the years, right through the centuries, right through the millennium. Yid have been moisa nefesh. We've been through the Inquisition. We've been through the gas chambers. And I'm going to learn. And the child says that. When the father says that, so the child thinks to himself, gas chambers, going to learn. The father gives a krecht, and the father says, well, I've got to go and learn. That's what a yid's got to do. And a yid's got to do what a yid's got to do. So I'm going to learn. When the child hears that, he doesn't hear birchas anenin. He hears a birchas chayva. I've got to go and do it. The child says, Mali letzorozois, if that's the case, why do I need it? Why do I need to voluntarily go to a gas chamber? If the father turns round with a massive smile on his face and says, Kinderlech, of course I'm going out. I'm going out to learn Hashem's Gevaldige Torah. I'm going out to grow in learning, to grow in life. Oh, the child can't wait for the time when he won't go have to go to bed at 7:30, 8 o'clock, halavai, but he's able to go and to learn. He wants to copy his father and he wants to go and learn. The way to grow is by developing a love, a complete love for learning. Like we began when we spoke about the Dvar Locha. It's not only a case of stopping a child doing an Issa, as we said before. We want to make a situation where the child wouldn't want to do an Issa in the first place. Where we've given the child such a love for Shabbos, such a love for mitzvahs, such a love for kashrus, that he won't want even, maybe even a cotton shaloigi alachinach. He'll just all of a sudden say words like Shabbos, Shabbos, Shabbos. Because he's got this beautiful, he may not understand what Shabbos is all about, but he knows Shabbos is a beautiful day. He knows that when Tati closes a shop in the winter on Fridays, in the middle of the day when everybody's having their shop open and the customers are pouring in, and he puts the shutters down closed for the Jewish Sabbath, and his father's got a fantastic joy. And he comes home with the greatest grin on his face from ear to ear. And he's singing L'chodoidi with a fantastic simcha. Then the child feels, oh, this is so beautiful. This is so wonderful. This is what I want. Not only will I not come to Issa, but I will actually come to the greatest pleasure of all. And as we saw from the story of Meir Zlotovitz, that he was about to do this chibur, give it to a few friends and that's it. Turn round and say, what can I do for Klal Yisrael? What can I do that I should grow? What can I do that all my hevra around me can grow? What can I do to be Marabet Torah, to be Marabit Torah, to be Marabet Kavod Shamayim? And with this way, Hashem will look down on us and give us peace in Eretz Yisrael, peace in the world, and the greatest gift of all will be, of course, Bias Mashiach Tzidkenu, to build the Beis HaMikdash, Pimheira V'Yomeinu. Amen.